Welcome to What's Brewing in Black Feminism, where four students sit at the brew and talk about hot topics in Black Feminism.
Black Feminism focuses on intersectionality and the support, or rather the lack thereof, for Black women.
I'm Kaisa Murphy.
I'm Maya Pagel.
I'm Phoebe Fuller.
And I'm Victoria Campbell. And today we will be discussing the sexual and domestic oppression of Black women.
Before we continue, we felt it was important to acknowledge the lens at which we view and consume Black feminist works and experiences as white women. While we are all working to become better allies to our siblings of color, we cannot understand or explain the issues of racial discourse in a way a person who actively experiences these oppressions could.
So, in listening, please keep in mind the privilege we hold as white women and the perspectives that are most valuable in understanding Black feminism, being Black woman.
Now take a seat at our table as we dive into perspectives from Harriet Jacobs, Adrienne Wing, Hillary Potter, and more.
This episode of What's Brewing in Black Feminism is brought to you by a liberal arts education. Are you tired of learning about whitewashed, patriarchal, essentialist history? Bored of the master narrative? Are you a person searching for representation in the classroom? Or maybe you're looking to learn the ins and outs of your privileged identity? If any of this sounds like you, or especially if it doesn't, sign up for WGSS 250 Critical Race Feminism with Dr. Ashley Burge. Dive into a course dedicated to exploring the layers of systemic racism and gender oppression in the United States and globally. Engage with texts written by real people from unfiltered and unbiased history. Allow for the expansion of your mind. Receive academic validation that these systems do exist. Understand the way these systems functioned in historical contexts, and learn about how we interact with them today. Side effects may include, but are not limited to, a better understanding of unfiltered history, understanding of oppressions marginalized groups face globally, female empowerment, a higher sense of self-respect, emotionally intelligent conversations, pride in your persons, discomfort in realizing your contributions to systemic oppression, a fire in your chest to do more, and in very extreme cases, destruction of the patriarchy. If you face any of these side effects upon joining WGSS 250, call your doctor and educate them on everything that you've learned. Thank you to a liberal arts education for sponsoring this episode of What's Brewing in Black Feminism. And now, back to Kaisa, Maya, Phoebe, and Victoria as they delve into the domestic and sexual oppression of Black women throughout history and in the modern day.
I was looking at this health report about the Quad Cities from 2021 by Unity Point, and it says that 4.5% of the Quad Cities has been the victim of a local violent crime, and 25.1% admit to having ever been hit, slapped, kicked, or hurt in any way by a partner. Even more surprisingly, only 3.5% of those who were surveyed were white, versus 6.2% being Black and 6.6% being Hispanic.
But the master narrative would imply the white population being most victimized.
Yet, Black women are subject to a significantly higher amount of sexual and domestic oppression due to their intersectional identities and how that creates a myriad of unique experiences.
That's why structural intersectionality, the recognition of how multiple marginalized identities work together to create unique experiences, is so important. Black women, for example, face a lack of support from Black men and all women when they face oppression.
African-American women's sexual objectification experiences, a qualitative study, says, quote, "As marginalized members of society, African-American women have lived as outsiders within larger society, and this social location has provided a unique standpoint on self, family, and society," end quote. Just the idea of being an outsider even in your own community shows how Black women are under-supported. I couldn't even imagine how mentally straining that would be.
And isolating.
That article really does show so many examples of oppression and articulates it very well. It goes on to say, quote, "Sexual objectification of African American women dates back to the slave era, whereby they were considered subhuman and likened to animals with uncontrollable sexual appetites. Slave owners recognized the potential for economic gain by breeding Black women in order to increase the number of slaves," end quote. Black women were stripped of their bodily autonomy on so many levels. Not only were they seen as a tool for pleasure, but they were used essentially as a means of production for white slave owners to make more money.
No, literally. In the piece Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl by Harriet Jacobs, who was born in 1813, she talks about how she was sexually assaulted night after night by her slave master when she was just 15 years old. But in her piece, she never directly stated what she went through in her sexual assault, only alluded to it. Why do you think that is?
Throughout history, Black women have been completely removed from sexuality because of caricatures such as the mammy, which enforces the stereotype of a Black woman's purpose being to serve and care for white children. Again, African American women's sexual objectification experiences says, quote, juxtaposed against the image of white woman promulgated through the cult of true womanhood, the mammy image as the other symbolizes the oppositional difference of mind/body and culture/nature thought to distinguish Black woman from everyone else, end quote.
The double standard is awful. Both sexual oppression and domestic oppression were things Black women faced at the same time during the slavery era, and they continue to face them now.
It's literally terrifying that not only are these disparities happening in large amounts or even just in America, but cases can be found globally.
Can you give us an example?
I actually recently came across an article on South African women's oppression called A Critical Race Feminist Conceptualization of Violence, written by Adrienne Wing. Women bear the burden of enduring their husband's, quote, stress through violence and verbal abuse.
It's heartbreaking to hear of the situation. Adrienne Wing talks about this too, quote, their families are going to be disproportionately subject to domestic violence as they bear the brunt of frustration of male high unemployment and political impotence, end quote. Spirit injury occurs due to this oppression and abuse. Wing defines spirit injury as a critical race feminist term that contemplates the psychological, spiritual, and cultural effects of the multiple assaults on these women.
Does she delve into these effects on women?
Yeah, she says spirit injury leads to the slow death of the psyche, of the soul, and of the identity of the individual.
That is horrifying.
Remember when we talked about the lack of support for women of color? That's the root of it.
Could you elaborate?
Yeah, another international example could be the men of Southern Asia, who are forced into a position of oppression and power simultaneously. Systematically and socially, they are oppressed as men of color in a world riddled with colonizer beliefs. In facing these disparities every day, and consequently the poor treatment that accompanies it, many of these same men will go home to their wives and subject them to similar abuse. It's a vicious cycle in which women are victimized indirectly by the system.
Have you heard of Hillary Potter? She was a survivor of domestic violence due to her intersectional identities.
Yeah, Hillary Potter is a scholar for women and gender studies and speaks about her experiences and how her family has been affected by domestic violence. Specifically, her descendants were enslaved and victims of domestic violence. These difficulties are directly due to the fact that she and her family are Black. Violence was harsh for Black men, but even worse for Black women because of their multiplicative identity.
And what does it mean to have a multiplicative identity?
To have a multiplicative identity is the same idea as being in an intersection. For example, Hillary Potter, those identities were her race, being Black, and her gender, being female. These identities caused her to face multiple forms of oppression as well. For example, although white women face abuse from their partners, in class discussions we've learned that Black women are more likely to be vulnerable to intimate partner abuse.
Hillary Potter shares a counter-narrative of a few women facing multiplicative identities in her book, Battle Cries, Black Woman and Intimate Partner Abuse. A woman named Billy and a woman named Media are featured in this book. Billy experienced abuse from her family members, including from her aunt, mother, brother, and eventually husband and son. Maya, can you take us to the text?
Absolutely. In Hillary Potter's book, she also writes about Billy's experiencing, saying, quote, during adulthood, she has encountered four abusive heterosexual intimate relationships, including that with her current common-law husband, Odell, whose main form of abuse is mental and verbal, end quote. It is sad, but Billy began abusing alcohol and other drugs in her 20s at the time. She was able to overcome her addiction to crack cocaine, but unfortunately still struggles with alcohol abuse as a coping mechanism. She used substances as a way to escape from her abuse and deal with her victimization.
Another counter-narrative story is shared by Medea, a woman who was neglected and emotionally abused by her guardians. This happened when Medea was trying to earn a degree, which is stressful alone.
Although Medea did not suffer physical abuse to the same extent as Billy, her experience is still valid. People should make efforts to solve emotional abuse as well as physical abuse. For Medea, she was neglected, which caused her to go through immense emotional suffering. She was also aggressively harassed and oppressed in the classroom by her classmates.
Medea shares how, quote, being smart was not acceptable because that was viewed in the Black community as a white thing. White people have the privilege. This is toxic because it shows how Black people are expected by their own community to have an intellectual boundary. This holds them back from having educational pursuits.
For both Billy and Medea, they stress how abuse and domestic violence against Black women has gone ignored. They have both been made efforts to fight against these oppressions. The first step to revolting is to be aware that domestic violence is happening to them.
Sharing personal narratives is another way to combat that violence. Women are no longer silenced, and those who have faced domestic violence can come together to empower themselves.
It's a sad reality that many Black women face because the structure of society was built against them. But by sharing these stories, Potter directly fights essentialism and rewrites the false narrative that we're taught throughout our educational careers.
And that false narrative is yet another form of oppression that Black women face. It's really layer after layer after layer.
So how do we crack down those layers and make this life safe for Black women?
It's difficult because there's no set of steps to liberate Black women or really anyone from oppression. But there's a list of things that'll help.
One example is amplifying the voices of Black women. Listen to the experiences of Black individuals and do your part to understand how you can be an active ally.
Yes, that's part of tackling what Bell Hooks calls the enemy within. In her book, Feminism is for Everybody, which, the enemy within, is the practice of educating ourselves on how we both consciously and unconsciously contribute to the systems that oppress people of color.
Also, if you're in a place to do so, financially supporting organizations that support Black women, such as the National Black Women's Justice Institute, the Black Women's Agenda, Girls for a Change, there are so many options.
It's also important for us as white women to work towards educating ourselves and others so that Black women are relieved of the pressure to educate every person they interact with.
And along with that, we need to be holding our family and friends accountable. The conversations we deem uncomfortable could quite literally be detrimental to communities of color, and we need to stop harvesting spaces in which people feel comfortable expressing hate and bigotry.
I agree. It's always important to keep the conversation alive and spread awareness.
Black women are subject to a significantly higher amount of sexual and domestic oppression, but we can ease their struggles by identifying their unique struggles caused by their intersectionality, rewriting the false narratives we're taught, and educating ourselves and those around us.
A special thank you to Dr. Ashley Burge for assigning this podcast for WGSS 250 Critical Race Feminism.
A large focus in this class is the transition in feminism from theory to practice, and assignments that allow us space to discuss lived experiences gives us as students the opportunity to uplift Black voices.
Thank you for joining our table at The Brew, where we discuss what's brewing in Black feminism. If you or someone you know is facing sexual or domestic abuse, please call 800-799-7233.
Or text the word START, S-T-A-R-T, to 88788. This is the National Domestic Violence Hotline, open 24/7 with over 200 languages. Speak with someone today. help is available and it is never too late to reach out.